I thought about this time that we've got, that we're stepping back. Some people have a little more time on their hands. Some are still working, and I'm thankful for that, but some are at home and trying to figure out, well, what do I do with my time? You know, maybe the first few days it was great, kind of like the first few days of retirement for some. Hey, you get to relax and do nothing. Then after a week or two, you're starting to get a little antsy. Well, what should you do with your time? So I thought of five things that everybody should be focused on right now. One is their faith. We need to increase our faith, reading the Bible, praying, spending time with God, because this is a time that God has allowed us to truly focus on Him above all other things. So your faith is number one. Your family is number two. Perhaps your family's been neglected over the last few months or years, and now's the time you can sit down and enjoy a good conversation. Maybe an extended cup of coffee with somebody in your family. Maybe you can put a puzzle together or play some games. Find some time where you're really focused on your family. The third thing is your fitness. One of the temptations we may have is to sit back, watch a lot of television, eat a lot of food, and gain 20 pounds during this quarantine. This would not be good for any of us. So do some things for your own fitness. Get up, eat healthy, go on a walk. Do what is possible to stay healthy and fit. The fourth thing is your friends. Don't neglect your friends. Give them a call. Send them a note. Just make sure everybody's okay in your neighborhood and in your friend sphere. We want to take care of our friends. And the last thing is you need to finish some tasks. I know some of you have had tasks that have been on your list for years. Perhaps you need to clean out your garage, or you need to just take care of that closet that's been collecting stuff for years, and it's time to declutter and get rid of some things. Take some time to focus on that and don't waste our time. God has given us a beautiful opportunity here, though in the middle of a crisis, we can look for something that would be effective and beneficial. We won't be in quarantine forever, thank the Lord. But if we've got this time, let's use it wisely. We don't necessarily need to binge watch every television show that wasn't worth watching in the first place. Well, with that, I was planning earlier this week just to pick up on my series in the book of Mark. But actually yesterday, I just felt like I didn't need to do that right now. Mark will still be there. We can focus on the essential truths of Mark. But I thought, we're leading up to Easter in a few weeks, but after I've talked to so many people either over the phone or been to your door and just to make sure that you're okay, I sense there's still a high level of fear and anxiety. And I thought, man, we need to probably just go back and focus on the realities of God and what God does for us in the midst of our circumstances. This may certainly be a worldwide crisis, but we have individual situations all the time that put us in a position of uncertainty, of fear, of crisis, of not knowing what to do. And so I thought I'd begin a three-week journey leading up to Easter, and on Easter we'll do something different, but a three-week journey with a series discovering how do we overcome these challenges when there's things out of our control. How do we endure and actually have victory in the power of God in our lives right now? I think this will be essential for us as we comb through the scriptures to see what it has to say. Part of it has to be us admitting our weaknesses. If there's ever been a time in our lives we thought, man, we're really kind of paralyzed. We don't know what to do and can't even do anything. It'd be right now. But it's in our weakness that we see God's strength the most and how essential that is for us. God uses these times to show His power in the kingdom of God. Now, over the last several years, we've had several either national tragedies, natural circumstances that have taken place through weather, or perhaps some person came up with a gun and shot a lot of people. And so in individual cities, we began to hear this phrase, like Paris strong, or Orlando strong, Nashville strong, and even Vegas strong. And I love the thought of that, that no matter what takes place, the community can bind together, unify, to put the divisions aside and to focus on how we can be strengthening and restoring and redeeming what was lost. I love that sense of community and camaraderie that we can bind together. Well, here we are in a worldwide position where all of us are affected. Every country, every state in the United States has been affected. And every day the numbers grow of who has contracted it or even who has passed away. So what is it that we need to focus on? Do we just say world strong, that we'll all unify? Let me commend to you that I believe there's something greater that we need strength in. It's not just the unity among humanity. I think it's a divine strength that we need. There's no one else who can solve our issues. Scientists are still trying to discover what to do to slow this down, to flatten the curve, if you will. And so the next couple of weeks, I wanted to focus on this thought, Jesus strong. Only in the strength of Jesus can we overcome, can we be redeemed and restored. Only in the strength of Jesus will we be able to individually and corporately become all that God has intended during this time. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. Listen to these words. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you sense the weakness in that? God is strong, and if we're not attached, connected, living in the strength of Jesus, we can do nothing. We're absolutely paralyzed to the eternal impact that is possible. We are in a state of helplessness, even though we think we're in control so many times in our lives. We must come to a place of surrender, willing to trust in the strength of God alone. Today is a time for us to admit a few things and surrender to the strength of God. The first thing I think we need to admit is this, that Christ is our strength. Just about everyone would say, well, we need strength to get through this. That's certainly true. Some will even say, well, we need God to strengthen us. Well, Philippians chapter 4, I found some encouragement this week. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what is he referring to? That verse is often quoted in places. Well, I think it's very applicable to our situation right now. In verse 12, it says right before this, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Then he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In our circumstances today, we certainly can know that we've got the strength of God to get through the abundance or even in the lack, because God is our strength who carries us through. Those who do not follow Jesus lack an understanding of what it means to truly live and depend upon the strength of God. But even, unfortunately, I find Christians, even this week, that some I encountered, struggle with depending upon and living in the power of God. What do we do in these circumstances? How do we respond? That's why so many Christians are constantly miserable and full of worry, fear, and doubt, dismay because of the situation they're in. They find themselves kind of isolated from the power of God and truly falling apart. Many Christians are trying to change their life on their own strength while wearing a smile and still a Christian t-shirt that says, I trust in Jesus. They have no true peace, and they fail to rest in the secure, comforting arms of Christ. Listen, if you're doing things on your own, trying to overcome everything in your life by yourself, you will fail without the strength of God to carry you through. When you're not trusting God, you're basically placing more trust in yourself. When we don't trust the Word of God, when we're failing to trust the wisdom of God, when we're not leaning on the ways of God, when we're not trusting in His purpose or His power or His plans, it basically boils down to either we are just simply an acquaintance of God and we don't really know Him, or we're just living out our lives as practical atheists. Yes, we think God is powerful, but maybe not in my situation, as if He doesn't care or not powerful enough. For every human being on the planet, if you're an unbeliever today, I want you to hear this word. You need the presence and the power of God in your life right now. You can trust Him and believe in Him. And for every believer who says, I've given my life to Christ, I've followed in baptism, I'm walking in step with the Spirit, but I'm struggling right now, just stop working on your own and fall back into the grace of God and trust that He knows what He's doing and He will take care of you. Some will emphatically say, well, I trust the Lord in everything. So I ask, do you really trust Him in everything? Can you give everything over to him so that he will work the situation for your good and his glory? Or are you attempting to do it on your own, or even getting in his way in the midst of these times? It is pointless and exhausting to do things on your own, and certainly foolish to fight against the will of God who's working in your life. Do you realize how powerful Christ is? Christ created the entire universe with one sentence: let there be light. Do you realize Christ even can conquer Satan with one word? One of my favorite hymns in the hymn book is written by Martin Luther: a mighty fortress is our God. And the one verse says this: the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. You realize God is powerful to create, and he can conquer. What is it, the power we bring? No, we bring our weakness, we bring our trust, and we glorify God in the midst of his power when he shows up. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 41 tells us in verse 10, we'll put that up on the screen, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You'll never find a stronger hand than that. And so in these days, it's a great time for us to be reminded that our strength is in Christ alone. The second thing we need to admit is this: it's time to admit that God's strength is enough. It's one thing to say, well, God's strength, I'll depend upon it. But is it sufficient and enough for you? It certainly is. Too often we're tempted to think that we can do some things better than God. How easily we forget the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 when it tells us, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? In verse 26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Let me just pause there for a second. I want you to consider the value and the beauty of birds and flowers of the fields and all of God's creation, but I want you to hear this. In the grace of Christ, when he calls you to be a child, he not only gives you value, but he sees you as incredibly valuable. You might think you're insignificant. You might think that God has no time for you or doesn't know you and your circumstances. Listen, Jesus has promised us that you are valuable even more than the birds, and he'll take care of you. He uses the body of Christ to do some of these things that he desires, but most often it's not even our physical needs that are most important. It's what's happening in our heart and mind. And God sees you as a great value, and if you'll learn to trust him, depend upon his strength, even the strength to get up and move and to do some things that you're asked to do, do that in the strength of Christ. Lean on him completely, and you'll find much joy. Well, going on in verse 27, he concludes. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Some of you have been so enamored with the television and the radio, listening to every news report, as if the next news report that comes out is going to give you something that releases you of your anxiety and fear. Listen, it's good to know what's happening, but spend more time in the Word of God than you do in the world that we live in. Because the Word of God has hope and promises that are certain. And I tell you, there's no fake media going on in the Word of God. And so spend time there. Turn off the television. Play a game with your family. Spend time in prayer. Call a friend. Because you're not going to be able to add a single hour or span to your life in your anxiety. Just trust in the strength of God and trust that he's got it all taken care of. in the same chapter that I mentioned earlier, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Part of that strengthening that he's going to give you is to cover what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Some of you are incredibly anxious right now. Some of you live in a whole life of anxiety, worried and concerned about so many things. Listen, when you trust in the strength of Christ, he can help you obey the command to not be anxious about anything. Because Christ is enough. It's time to admit that God's strength is enough for us. We are to work out of us what God is working in to us. If God has put his Holy Spirit within us, then we've got all the resources we need to live out the life of faith that he's called us to. It's only possible when we realize that we're an empty vessel, that the Spirit of God is filled in for Jesus Christ to work through. Some of the baggage you're carrying, the fears, the uncertainties, the worries, all the stresses that you've been carrying through this coronavirus, and quite frankly, you've been carrying for years, can all be let go when you trust in the strength of God. How many times do we worry about God Almighty not being able to see us through? More times than ever, we have to admit. Sometimes you're not sure if you're going to be able to pay the next electric bill because the money is tight. Sometimes you've got a medical report that you just got, you know, but I don't know if God can take care of this or what his purpose is in all of this. You know, Daniel trusted and stood tall in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God and in the midst of the fiery furnace. David relied upon God's strength, and he killed a lion, a bear, and even a giant. It was the strength that they found in God alone that got them through. It's time to admit some things, friends. It's time to admit that God, Christ is our strength. It's time to admit that God's strength is enough. And finally, it's time to admit that you were not meant to carry these burdens. When you trust that Christ is the strength that we need, and when you trust that he is sufficient, he is enough, then it's time not to try to carry any more of those burdens that we were never meant to. God allows difficulties in our lives, not so that we can prove ourselves strong, but we can prove ourselves faithful in his strength alone. You know, years ago, University of Virginia had a research program, and they were trying to understand the perceptions of people in the difficulties they may face. And in the research, they allowed people to walk up a hill to see if they could carry a pack or even without a pack, and some of them were pretty anxious about it, and they would allow them to walk up a hill, and then they asked them what they thought the slope was of this. So I'm going to put up, we're in homeschool now, so let's put up the first slide. That's a protractor if it's been a few years since you've been in school. So a protractor kind of shows you the degrees of slope. You see from 0, 10, 20, 30, all the way up. Well, they would let people walk up a 5-degree slope. We'll put that next slide up. 5 degrees. But when those individuals who were on that particular study walked up it, they were asked, what do you believe the degree of slope was? And the majority of them thought it was around 20-degree slope. Their perception was much worse than the reality they were experiencing. For those who were on a 10-degree slope, they were asked, well, what degree slope do you think you were walking up? And they answered 30 degrees. You see the significance if you were walking up that slope? 5 or 10-degree slope, certainly that'll make you breathe a little heavier if you're walking around your neighborhood. But if you're in your mind, you're perceiving it's a 30-degree slope, you're thinking, I'm exhausted before I even start. So many of us have a perception about most of our problems like that. We're going through something certainly significant, but when the reality is revealed to God, these slopes are nothing for him. When we depend upon the strength of God alone, there's nothing that he can't overcome. It really is about being Jesus strong, not world strong or our individual lives strong. It's about Jesus being glorified in our weakness. Next week, I'm going to talk more about the sufficiency of Christ. Even when Paul cried out that you would remove the difficulties, He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And I think all of us need to be reminded of that right now. But as we admit some things, that we admit that Christ is our strength, we admit that Christ's strength is enough, and we need to admit that we weren't meant to carry these burdens, because the slope, no matter what we perceive, will always be more than we think we can handle, but not in the strength of God. When we're burdened, when we're exhausted, even with very minor problems, it can seem so big for us. As we encounter a test in our life, we're tempted to sit down at the base and think that it's too tough and I can't go on. Convinced that the grade is too steep and we can't overcome the challenge, we'll never be able to conquer it. That's why we need the strength of the Holy Spirit and the encouragement of God's Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, here's His promise. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. You ever been in a situation where you're pulling it, you've got all the things wrapped around you, and you're trying to hold on and try to manipulate and move things in your own power, and it's not getting anywhere? And here God says that he who has no might, God will increase his strength. Because we're online today, and I thought, you know, to sit here and watch me just sit and do nothing, it'd be a challenge. So I want to do something a little more visual today. So I've asked a couple of volunteers to come help me. And so if my three volunteers will come, I wanted to illustrate what it looks like in the strength of God. We'll let you hold this pole right here. Appreciate Drew and Davis and Deborah. Could we get all the D's together, I guess, here? All right, so you're the youngest among us, so I've selected you to be in the middle. So here's two poles, and I want you to imagine these two poles are the difficulties in our life that we try to, in our own strength, hold on to and try to get more control of, pulling it closer to ourselves. So I'm going to ask that you step between these two individuals and you pull these poles closer to yourself. And I want you, as the strength of the world, to hold back. Don't allow Davis to pull that closer to you, okay? So step forward in your own strength. I want you to pull it all together. Now, oh, you look like Samson. Look at those muscles. Look, he's pulling, but it's not going anywhere. And that is most of us in our life. We've got so many things, we're trying to get a grip on it, we're trying to pull it closer so we have more control, and we find out that we don't have the strength it takes to accomplish this. And so, with an illustration, I'm going to put a rope around this. Slip that right here, if you'll put that between your hands so it doesn't slip to the ground. I want you to imagine this is the power of God, that when we depend upon His strength, we allow Him to wrap Himself around the problems in the midst of our situation. And so, and like a cord of three that's not easily broken, three strands not easily broken, we've got God the Father, we've got God the Son, we'll put that between your hands as well, and we've got the Holy Spirit that we have in our lives, the strength of God. Now, Davis, I'm going to have you come to the front. And with the three strands here, the strength here, Davis is who could not move these poles on his own. I just want to illustrate what it looks like when we just hold on to God rather than our problems. Would you take that and pull that? Now, these participants are not actors. They really are holding with all their might. But I want you to see, with both of your hands, would you grab on and see if you can pull those closer and get a handle on those? Oh, come on. Your little brother is beating you here. Your mom's going to love watching this. Yeah, don't hurt yourself. All right, we can stop there. Do you notice how, was it easier? Absolutely easier for you. Because when we hold on to God, He controls all things. We don't need to do it on our own. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. I'm sure that's going to be a YouTube clip and a meme for years to come. You'll be famous with that. Listen, there's a difference when we hold on to our problems versus holding on to Christ. Christ is our strength. He is enough. And we were never meant to hold on to the things in our world. We were meant to hold on to the Word of God and the truth and the promises that He gives us. Because just as I read at the beginning, John chapter 14, you know, that we do not need to be troubled in our heart. We just need to believe in God and believe in Christ. because he'll take care of us today, and he's promised a future for us that he's preparing. Why not hold on to that? Because that will get you through anything and all things, now and for eternity. It's time for us to stop being anxious about everything, but trusting in God alone, where he takes care of it, and we can just rest. It comes to a trust factor with God. God allows the trials in our lives to show us that we have weaknesses, and that's okay. It's not a shame to admit that we're weak. It's a shame when we pretend that we're strong without the power of God. The strength and the comfort of Christ is where we find our strongest life. When we feel strongest in our own strength, it is when we have or will have our greatest failures. Because if God is not in it, it's not going to succeed or prosper. I want to leave you with one other verse. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it gives us this promise for those who are weak, who are willing to admit they're weak, and that need the strength of God. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of you need rest from your anxiety. Some of you need rest from many of the tasks that you've been consuming over the last few weeks and months, and perhaps years. Some of you have been carrying a burden of your own sinfulness and not sure what to do with that. And Jesus has invited you right into his presence. And I think now that the world is stopped, literally just stopped, it's a time for us to look up versus just looking around. That every one of us who've been carrying the load and going in our own strength, in Christ is saying, just come to me. I will give you rest. In that rest, we simply repent of holding on to our own lives for our own ways and our own purposes. We just repent. We repent of the sins of our lives, and we just confess that before Christ. And he says, I'll give you rest. No longer do you have to carry the burdens of your own sin. I'll take them to the cross and pay the penalty for that and give you the peace that you need with God. For believers who've already given their life to Christ, he's saying, I'm here for your rest. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen this next week or 8 weeks from now. You simply need to rest in me. Spend this time trusting in Christ. For some of you who want to give your life to Christ, I know you've thought about it. You've just never followed through. I would like to pray for you in just a moment. And perhaps at home you're praying, God, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you accept me into your kingdom? As I mentioned earlier, even the Pope has acknowledged you don't need to go to a priest. You need to go straight to Jesus. And he has invited you. And for believers, just find your rest in him. And if you would, if you're responding in any way, if we can pray for you, I want you to go to guest.gift. Yes, that was for first-time guests, but it's also a way to get right to me that'll send me a notice that you need to be prayed for, that you'd like to give your life to Jesus, you'd like to be baptized, and certainly we'll try to take care of that in any way we can. You just need to connect with the church, whatever that is. Go to that website, fill that out. I'll read those this afternoon, and I'll respond back to you in any way that you have a need. But let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing one last song as we conclude our service. Father, I'm thankful that today you can be glorified even though the world is on pause. Actually, I think you can be glorified even more right now because there's nothing else we can truly do. And when we look up, we realize that you're the creator of this world and you are the conqueror of the difficulties of our lives. You're the conqueror of Satan who tries to bring us down and to break our hope and trust. Father, right now, for someone who's watching right now live or they're watching it sometime in the near future, they're sensing your spirit working in their heart saying, it's time to come home. It's time to trust in Jesus. It's time to rest in him, to receive the full forgiveness of their sin and full adoption into his kingdom. Father, I pray that you would meet their need and transform their life and heart, and that they would respond even letting us know through Facebook or through guest.gift website, that we can pray with them, for them, get them materials that they need so they can grow in their faith. And for the believers that are watching right now, I pray that you would strengthen them in their heart, in their body, in their relationships, in all things. May they find their strength in you alone. Let us admit our weakness and admit your strength. For you meet us at our point of need. Father, receive our glory, receive our praise, receive all things that you are due, and we will be satisfied in you alone. In Jesus' name I pray.